traditions, I guess, between the two congregations, cat coasters. There's so many things that connect us. Our New Testament reading this evening can be found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Hear God's word for us this evening. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap or store away in barns? And yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why? Why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field that grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, oh, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you will need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The word of the Lord. I do drink a lot of water, you'll forgive me. Now, when somebody asks you to describe Thanksgiving, your Thanksgiving dinner, what comes to mind? Turkey, right? Like a big meal, right? Maybe a beautiful tablescape. So for some, it may be fond memories of loved ones gathered round a picturesque table. There are candles glowing. He set this up nicely for me. I didn't even tell you what I was going to say. And just the right amount of light to flatter everyone in the room. You know, like that perfect light, so like it looks good and no matter what picture. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. That sort of light. And then there's that plump turkey sitting probably in the middle of that beautifully decorated table. And there's almost certainly a cornucopia somewhere, right? We don't actually have cornucopias in our house, but we always imagine them in these scenes. And on the commercials about Thanksgiving, there's always a cornucopia in them. And there's pies and side dishes tucked away in every nook. It's a sweet, a warm picture. And maybe that's even what your Thanksgiving scene is going to look like tomorrow. Now, other people, they might picture something not quite as bright and cheery. Some people, maybe even some of us, Thanksgiving tablescapes might look a bit more meager. Perhaps the thought of Thanksgiving brings us a longing for companionship. It might bring regret for words that were spoken too harshly, or loving words that for some reason or another never made it out of our mouths. Sometimes Thanksgiving brings thoughts of what used to be instead of thankfulness, right? Sometimes Thanksgiving is cold because there's no table to go to, because you're alone or you're a foreigner in a strange land. And that Thanksgiving is hard and uncomfortable. Don't worry, we're coming back from this place. We're not going to stay there too long. Now, not every Thanksgiving picture is one of those two options. I would guess that for most of us, our picture is somewhere in between the two. For the first time in several years, I'm not hosting our Thanksgiving meal. And I'm very excited about that. I'm just gonna say that. I still have two pies to bake, but I'm not making a turkey. I'm not doing anything other than these two additional pies that I still have to do. I know that our day is gonna be full of laughs and lots of delicious food. We'll play with Robbie, we'll watch some football, and I know there's also going to be moments of solitude. moments of longing, moments of regret had by all of us. I'm going to miss my father, who passed away not quite a year ago, and Thanksgiving was the last holiday we spent with him. Those things are very real for a lot of folks, right? So Thanksgiving, it's a day, it's a holiday that's layered with lots of emotions, like that casserole we're probably also going to eat that has lots of layers. And maybe because of my vocation, I find myself wondering how we as Christians can approach Thanksgiving, especially when the world has been a bit chaotic lately. You may have noticed that. In fact, when Dirk came in, he said, What exactly was it? There's constantly things. There's constantly broken things that we're picking up, broken pieces over and over again. That's what it seems like. The world has been chaotic. Now, thankfully, we have this great source to answer all of these questions. When we ask big questions, what does this mean? Where can we get those answers? We're in a church, so what's the church answer for that? The Bible, that's right. That's right, that's the good answer. So we have the Bible, and our Psalms today, they reminded us about giving thanks, about how God provides for us in all times, in all seasons of life. I need one more sip of water. It might be more than one more. In a scripture we didn't read this evening, Deuteronomy 26, it describes how the Israelites are to offer thanks when they enter into the promised land. And I find it to be pretty interesting. They're told when they get to that promised land to remember all the hard stuff, the yucky stuff, those dark and difficult times, those cold, hard, uncomfortable moments. Now, the folks from Glenshaw, they will be quick to remember because we spent 2 months hanging out with Moses and the Israelites journeying. So they, unfortunately, also feel cold and hard about that time because it was a long sermon series for them. But they remember all of that when they make it to the promised land. They recount how God grew the Israelites into a great nation and how they suffered. And they're not to gloss over that suffering. They're told, don't forget. Do not forget the suffering. They're not told, hey, get over it and move on. The people are told to remember it, to recount it. And throughout Scripture, we find people are told to do this important act of remembering. It's what happens each Passover. It's what we do every time we celebrate communion. We remember all that God has done. There's so much meaning in recounting those hard times. And in remembering those less desirable moments, we take a turn. I told you it was going to get better. We take a turn, and the Israelites and what God commands them, they move to rejoicing. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with miraculous signs and wonders. God provided just like our Psalms reminded us. And to be clear, God didn't just take a bad situation and make it okay-ish. God gave them something that they had always hoped for, always longed for. God gave them an identity. He made them a people, and he gave them a purpose. Now, often, I pause when reading scripture and say, so what? What's the takeaway from this passage? Where do we go from here? Is this just a great story of God's deliverance and then how he provides sustaining love for all creation? And quite often, if not always, after a time of prayer and reflection, I come to the conclusion that there's so much more there. Scripture never stays on the page. Scripture's alive, and it works in our lives. It works into our world around us. It does indeed have that power still today. It molds us as we read. Like a river, it washes over us, and it wears down those pointy parts of our hearts of stone. That's the power of God's word. So what does all of this have to do with that New Testament passage? Well, even if this Thanksgiving isn't the first picture, with the perfect table. Even if you don't get to have your pie while you watch the parade, I know that's what you two do. Even if it's not the best day ever, even when we're struggling, we're not alone. We aren't in this thing we call life alone. In all seasons, we can give the very best of ourselves to God. And we need to rejoice, thanking God for the place that He's put us in. No matter how dark our version of Thanksgiving may be, God is with us and at work in our lives. And friends, that deserves rejoicing. Rejoicing with others, rejoicing with friends and families, with strangers, with friends that are going to become friends but aren't yet. Perhaps new friends you'll meet when you get cookies after this in the other building that's very close. I don't know about you, but there are definitely times when rejoicing's the last thing on my mind, when I'm worrying about all the things, such as two additional pies that need to be made, just off the top of my head, something somebody might be thinking about. I know that I have been immensely blessed throughout my life, but sometimes I feel like I can't catch a break, or perhaps like everything's broken. Sometimes I feel like I'm never going to be enough. I'm never going to be able to do it all. I'm never going to be the best mom, the best friend, the best sister, the best wife, the best pastor, the best fill in the blank. Have any of you ever been in that place? Yeah. Never, Kristen? Maybe we shouldn't tell lies. I have the microphone, so you probably have to be careful. Here. I'm going to tell you guys something very, very important. None of us are ever going to be the best. Never. None of us are ever going to be enough on our own. We won't. Not on our own. It's just not going to happen. We can't do it on our own. The disciples, they struggled with a similar issue throughout Scripture. They ask, who's the best? Who's the first? And Jesus tells them in this particular instance, don't worry about it. He tells them to take a look around. Look at everything God's created. Look at those birds outside. Okay, not right now, you can't see them. But when you can see birds, look at the birds outside. They have everything they need. They're not worrying about whether they have the right job, what they're going to wear tomorrow, about whether the turkey's cooked to perfection. They might be hoping they're not the turkey that's getting cooked, but that's about it. They're not fretting about what they did or didn't say. They aren't doing just that last quick check at the bank to make sure that the balance is what they want it to be. They're just birds being birds, doing bird things. Or think about squirrels. I really like squirrels. This is a quick aside. Squirrels are not smart. You may not know this about squirrels. They're not smart. They hide all of those acorns. Have you noticed big piles in your mulch that make you crazy? They make me crazy. They bury all those acorns, but guess what? They don't know where they bury them. They forget where they bury them. And those crazy fluffy-tailed creatures, they are responsible for planting all of these new trees every year because they can't go back and find their stupid acorns because they don't remember where they planted them. And I get mad because they're in my mulch and I pull them out. But also, sometimes they create whole new forests. So those silly squirrels end up doing work that helps the entire world when we don't even realize it. Like the birds, God provides for those silly squirrels who can't remember where their acorns are. And maybe God's even providing for the whole earth in the way the squirrels are accidentally repopulating the forests of the earth. The point is that God provides for all of us, all creatures, great and small. Even when we're in times of hardship, seasons of chaos, brokenness, even when we're facing tables that maybe are colder or less desirable than we'd hoped, even when the act of remembering causes us more pain than we wish to feel, but we also can't stop the memories from coming. Even in those times, perhaps especially in those times, Jesus nourishes us. God nourishes our hearts and our minds and our souls so that we can grow and be strong. So this holiday season, this Thanksgiving, focus on just that. When remembering hard memories, or when remembering brings hard memories, know that God's going to deliver you, just as he delivered the Israelites. Know that Christmas is coming. We're not going to skip to it. We have a whole season of Advent. Don't worry. But Emmanuel is indeed coming. God indeed is with us. Light will yet again enter the world. God will be with us. God is with us in this and every season. Friends, let Jesus, let God nourish you so that you can offer God your very first fruits, the best of what we have. And know that when we're focused on God's provision for us, when we're nourishing our bodies, feeding ourselves scripture, drinking in the Spirit through prayer, we are enabling ourselves to be enough. We're giving what we can so that God can fill in all those gaps, so that we can bless others simply by existing, by the way we live our lives, creating little trees growing in places we never knew they might be. Let's rejoice and do so with every person we meet, sharing the love of Christ along the way and creating a community fueled by God's love. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Now with one voice, one mind, and one heart, let us profess what we all believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
In the book of James, it says that pure religion that God our Father accepts as faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep one's self from being polluted by the world. All throughout Scripture, it talks about widows and orphans as people who have needs and are dependent upon others, and that the body of Christ should be the presence of Christ in their lives. We have three mission partner groups that the ministerium supports throughout the year. On the back of your bulletin, you will find some descriptions about each of those groups. There are two representatives here this evening that are going to share just a little bit about their organization. The one that isn't is Hearth, so I encourage you to read that in the bulletin about them. But let me invite Glenn Smith to come on up and share for North Hills Community Outreach.
Good evening. My name is Glenn Smith. I'm a member of St. Paul's United Methodist Church, and I'm also on the board of directors at North Hills Community Outreach. For the last 37 years, NHCO has had a food pantry and served thousands and thousands of people. And it's only through people such as yourself that we're able to do that. That being said, we are a whole lot more than a food bank, and I want to just share a little bit about that. We offer just over 20 services in addition to the food bank. We supply financial assistance for people who need to pay their utility bills. We provide tax services in the spring of the year for those who can't afford to get their taxes done. We have coat drive in the fall. We have school supplies that we do for the kids going back to school in the month of August and September. And we also have transportation services that we provide. We have bus service down in the Blahnox and Sharpsburg area that we have free rides for seniors to get to doctor's appointments and to the grocery stores. And we also have free rides for seniors where volunteers use their own automobiles and take folks to their doctor's appointments and to get groceries, whatever their particular needs may be. So you see, we do a whole lot more than just the food bank, but the food bank is big. And this time of the year, we usually are struggling at the food bank to keep enough food in the pantry to feed the people that we support. Because of the time of the year, our donations are generally down and the need is up. So that's a challenge. That is a challenge. I don't know if anyone caught the local news this evening, but Lisa Scales, who is the CEO at the Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, was interviewed, and she talked about the need in Pittsburgh. And something that she said that really caught my attention was that in the past year, the need in the Pittsburgh area for food assistance has spiked dramatically, the largest that it has spiked since the year 2008. And they're continually looking for support and volunteers, as we are. But we appreciate all of your donations and all of your support and hope that you will continue to do that, because we have with 27 members on our staff at NHCO, and we have three major offices, one on Ferguson Road, one in Bellevue, and one in Millvale. We also have a satellite office in McKees Rocks that we're serving Kennedy and Scott Townships. So we have expanded dramatically, but it's only through the efforts of folks such as you who make donations monetarily and food donations that we can continue to serve those that we're here to serve. And in this time of Thanksgiving, on behalf of the board and the staff, we give you thanks for all of your efforts and look forward to your continued support. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Glenn. And Brian Hardy is here to speak about Anchor Point Counseling Ministry.
Good evening. As he said, my name is Brian Hardy. I'm on the board of Anchor Point Counseling Ministry, but I want to share my story of how I got on the board. I actually got to know Anchor Point as a counselee. Went through a period of my life, and the reflection tonight described it perfectly. I went through a period of my life, everything on the outside looked great. It just, life was going well from the outside, but I was just stuck. I wasn't happy, and I couldn't get unstuck. Talking to all my friends, and I have a great network of friends and family, I just couldn't get unstuck. So I don't even know who referred me to Anchor Point, but I got referred to Anchor Point as a faith-based organization that can provide counseling. And faith is, as we heard tonight, it's got to be our rock. And it was mine, but I needed more. So Like I said, I got that phone call was one of the hardest calls I ever made, because what I do professionally, I advise people. So I don't need help. I have the answers. Well, I didn't have the answers. So I picked up the phone. I still remember. It was like it was yesterday. I remember making that phone call that day and doing the intake. Hardest call I ever made, but the best call I ever made. Anchor Point changed my life. Going through the counseling and just gave me hope again and let me kind of see the forest through the trees and brought me back to who I am, which then made me a better friend, a better son, a better volunteer, a better, you know, advisor to my clients, across the board. So me becoming healthier changed other people's lives. It really just snowballs. So at some point, someone asked me to get on the board of Anchor Point. They didn't know I was a counselee, so my answer was yes. And I've been on, I don't even know how many years now, but it's been a while. And it's an honor. And so counseling is obviously one of the services, one of the main services Anchor Point provides. We also provide parent and relationship education, therapeutic support groups, tutoring, and all, again, faith-based in all we do, from our board decisions to our counselors. We meet people where they are, though, so the counselors bring as much faith into their sessions as the person wants. But it's there if they want it, which is hard to find. And another important point is we take care of people regardless of their ability to pay. I could pay. I was fortunate. But not everyone can. And we want them to have their services. And that's where we rely on donations and generous community members to help us provide those services. So tonight, thank you. Thank you for the financial support. We can't do it without you. And I ask for your prayers, because as a faith-based organization, it's a broken world, as we heard. We need to be praying as board members, as staff, but we need prayers for us to make the right decisions using, following our Christian ideals, and for our counselors that are providing the support, and ultimately for the people we're serving, because they're in some tough times, and it's getting worse. But the support's there, and so I also have a challenge for everyone here. If you're struggling, because like we've heard many times tonight, it's a tough world, but we have our faith, and we have services to help us. So if you're struggling, reach out. You know, call someone at your church. Don't be afraid. Don't be that me that I was. You know, I was afraid to make that call. I was too proud. It was the best decision I ever made. So if you're struggling, make that call. You know, call someone at your church, call Anchor Point, call another counseling service. But don't stay stuck. There's no reason to stay stuck. And if you know anyone else struggling, encourage them to get help. So thank you again, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Friends, as we take our offering this evening, if you want to give, you can write a check out to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. The offering this evening will be divided equally among the three mission partners, so know that that's how that happens. We've heard how it is to give to a need. Let me encourage you that as a worshiping community, it's right to hear about the needs, but really what we're giving out of is gratitude. What we're giving out of is the acknowledgement that God is the one who meets our need, sometimes through others, sometimes through one another. So let me encourage you as you give your offering tonight, not just to write a check, not to work toward a budget, but to extend the grace of God in very real ways.
loving and faithful God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for the abundant blessings that you've given to each and every one of us. Lord, we give thanks for these gifts that have been brought this evening. We pray, Lord, that they will help these agencies to show your love, to share your joy, and to bring hope to those that need it. So, Lord, we dedicate these in your name. Almighty God, amen.
On the cusp of Thanksgiving, truly it's good for us to spend a remarkable amount of time in prayer. We have done that this evening, and we close down our time with a hymn after this prayer. Time of reflection upon the truth of God that has been delivered to us, that Emily has done in a most magnificent way. That's been wonderful. Through song, thank you so very much for the music that you have led, Bob and Ron. That's been wonderful. Choir, excellent job. So we come before the presence of a holy God in prayer, the great prayer of thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. We lift up our hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
Truly, Lord God Almighty, it is right to give our greatest joy, to give you thanks and praise. Our Lord, our God, creator and ruler of the universe, in your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image, setting us in this world to love and to serve you, and to live in peace with your whole creation. When we rebelled against you, refusing to trust and obey you, you did not reject us, but still claimed us as your own. You sent prophets to call us back to your way. Then in the fullness of time, out of your great love for the world, you sent your only Son to be one of us, to redeem us and heal our brokenness. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the choirs of angels and prophets, apostles and martyrs, and with the faithful of every time and place who forever sing of the glory of your name. You are holy, O God of majesty. And blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, and Jesus, born of Mary, your Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. He lived as one of us, knowing joy and sorrow. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, opened blind eyes, broke bread with outcasts and sinners, and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and needy. Dying on the cross, Jesus gave himself for the life of the world. Rising from the grave, Jesus won for us victory over death. Seated at your right hand, he leads us to eternal life. We praise you that Christ now reigns with you in glory and will come again to make all things new. Lord God, even now we reflect upon those who have gone and completed their baptismal journey, even at this time. We reflect upon those lives that have impacted us, and even now we give you thanks. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon all that we give of ourselves to you. Remember your church. Unite it in the truth of your word and empower it in ministry to the world. Remember the world of the nations, even as they are caught in deep conflict. Remember specifically our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine. And even on the other side of the battlefield, if they've been conscripted into battle against their own will. We pray for the conflict and tension that exists in the Middle East even now between Israel and Hamas. We pray for peace. Lord, we know of the tensions that exist around the world that aren't even making the headlines.
and how this troubles us, even in our own dear land here, where those first pilgrims sought peace and the opportunity to worship you in freedom. Lord, hear our prayer. Remember our family and friends, O Lord, and bless them and watch over them. Be gracious to them and give them peace. We do pray for those who are sick and suffering, for those who are aged, and those who are lying on beds anticipating the day when you would call them home. Encourage them and give them hope, Lord God. Rejoicing in the communion of saints, we remember with thanksgiving all your faithful servants and those who are dear to us. We are grateful that for them death is no more, nor is there sorrow, crying, or pain, for the former things have passed away. Lord, even as we are gathered here as the ministerium, as a union of the body of Christ, fulfilling that which was your greatest statement in the upper room and your utmost desire that we would be one even as you are one. So in union with your church in heaven and on earth, Lord, we pray that you would fulfill your eternal purpose in us and in all the world. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. We pray all this through your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
home to finish making two pies, go over to the other building that the deacons will show you how to get to. It's right outside, very easy. And eat lots of cookies that people lovingly made to bless your tummies. And go with the peace of Christ, guiding you each and every step of the way. Know that no matter what is happening, God is with you today, tomorrow, and always. Amen?
Amen. Amen.